Sai's Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Offering myself at Bhagwan's lotus feet, this is Karuna signing in live from Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. Good morning and welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live, coming to you in real time from the Radio Sai studios in Prashanti Nilayam, which happens to be my home, my heaven and the abode of highest peace. I'm smiling ear to ear, dear listeners, because I've been talking for a while. I didn't realize that the mic was switched off. So till my colleague came and said that nothing was going on air. So I apologize for that. Sometimes we have these technical glitches. Now, right now, I'm 4 minutes late. It's 9:40 a.m. Indian Standard Time in the ashram. And today is the day of the Sadguru, Thursday, the 11th of April, 2019. And it's a beautiful morning here in the ashram. The current temperature is at 30 degrees Celsius. We have clear skies, plenty of sunshine, and zero air and noise pollution. We are expecting daytime highs of 38 degrees Celsius later in the afternoon and overnight lows 24. Surprisingly, traffic in downtown Puttaparthi this morning was smooth and easy and free-flowing, which is unexpected because today Andhra Pradesh goes to elections or voting. The people of Andhra Pradesh are going to elect their state government, which will have its headquarters in this new fancy city we are coming up with called Amravati, near Vijayawada. And also, we are electing people who will represent Andhra Pradesh at the center level. So, Lok Sabha elections as well as the state government, state level elections are taking place today in Andhra Pradesh. And there were no blockades in my way and I come from a bit of a distance. Yesterday, I had a tough time getting to work because there were so many roadblocks for security purpose. Today, everything was smooth and clear and that's really nice. So, last Thursday, dear sisters and brothers, when I played for you part one of Trisvi Divinity with Mr. Shamal Sood here on Morning Glory, many of you stated in your feedback that you enjoyed the interview very much. So today I'm very pleased to play the conclusion of that interview for you. And on the show, on this interview, he will be joined by Mr. Tyagarajan from the disaster management team. And that is coming up in just a little bit. Now, the overwhelming listener response to this interview and to several others begets a question. What is it that touches the listeners about some conversations more than others? Why do some stories evoke a spontaneous response, while in others, we develop an interest over a period of time, like a slow reaction? So why? Is the intensity of our feelings for Bhagwan and his command based on our conviction that our life is worth living only if we live it for a purpose that is dedicated to Swami? So before I play part two of Radio Sai's exclusive interview with Mr. Shamal Sood, I have a question for you, dear sisters and brothers. And when you answer my question, please don't think from your head, think from your heart. And please don't forget to write your full name and the location. And as always, I think you can WhatsApp me at 9393-258-258. And country code for India is +91. The number here for WhatsApping me is 9393-258-258. You can also reach me by email immediately at karuna@radiosai.org. I repeat, Karuna, K-A-R-U-N-A, @radiosai.org. And remember your full name and location. Here comes the question for this morning, and there's something that's been troubling me, so I thought I should learn something from our listeners. How do we know that we are truly living a life of a Sai devotee? How do we know that we are actually living a life of a Sai devotee? What is it that qualifies us to be called Swami's devotees? Let me share my answer to this question in advance. I'm one of those enthusiastic students who wants to go first in class. Because I feel so strongly when I experience what I perceive as a letdown by those who operate under his banner, my answer may be a bit extreme, so bear with me. According to me, when our heart beats only for Swami, with love for him, with obedience to his teachings, with gratitude for his presence in our lives, with the will and drive and determination to serve his mission, only then and then alone may we consider ourselves as his devotees. But then, what about the times when we have to perform our worldly duties and our professional tasks? Are those not necessary for our survival? Yes, but if we perform those also as an offering to Swami, as per his teachings and his standards and expectations of virtue and values, I think that every aspect of our existence can become sacred. So that's my thought process. What is yours? How do we know that we are truly living a life of a Sai devotee? What qualifies us to be called as Swami's devotees? I urge you not to overthink. Just what comes from your heart, not from your head. Let your heart do the thinking and send me your WhatsApp message at 9393258258 or email me at karuna@radiosai.org. On the other side of part 2 of Sri Shamal Sur's interview, I will share all the answers with you. And guess what else I have lined up for your inspiration on this sacred morning? On 7th of April 2019, just recently, Baba's devotees from the Sindhi community celebrated their new year, Chetti Chand, in the Divine Presence. Two lady singers presented traditional Sindhi devotional music, both in the morning and evening. The Sindhi prayers and songs in the voice of Ms. Kajal Chandiramani and Ms. Renu Gidumal are coming up in the second half of the show. So don't move, stay with us on Thursday Live. While you start sending me your answers to the question, how do we know that we are truly living the life of a Sai devotee? And what is it that qualifies us to be called a Sai devotee? I will be going through your responses and sorting them out, and I will share them with you on the other side of part 2 of Trisvi Divinity with Mr. Shamal Sur. And while you're at it, feel free to share feedback about this interview as well or any other offering of Radio Sai. Also, dear listener, just a quick reminder that in part 2 of Mr. Sur's interview, he is joined by Sri Tyagarajan from the disaster management team of the Sri Satya Sai Seva organization. And throughout this interview, Mr. Tyagarajan refers to Mr. Sur as Dada. So I don't want you to get confused. Dada is a term of endearment used to address an older brother. Because for the entire disaster management team and the Prashanti Seva or Prashanti Service or Prashanti Security, PS as it's called, PS team, Mr. Sur is like an older brother, so all of them call him by this nickname of Dada. So have a listen to Dada and Tyagarajan sir talk about their experiences with Swami and working for Swami and being his instruments. And I will be waiting and looking forward to your feedback and your emails on WhatsApp, which is 9393258258, and email karuna@radiosai.org, and I'll be back with all your responses on the other side. Now, sir, if I may move this conversation towards disaster management, and with your permission, if I may invite Sri Tyagarajan to join us.
By all means.
Thank you. So now joining us on this conversation, along with Sri Shamal Sur, is Mr. S. Tyagarajan. Mr. S. Tyagarajan is a chemical engineering graduate from the University of Madras, from where he also acquired his MBA. His career was mainly in the area of international trading in industrial minerals, shipping and chartering, in which he spent 21 years both in the government and private sectors. During his professional career, Sri Tyagarajan has traveled extensively around the globe. He came into the Sai fold and the Satya Sai Seva organization of Tamil Nadu in the early 90s, and at the age of 44, he decided enough was enough and he quit his professional life and started devoting his entire time to Sai Seva. Swami gave him the opportunities to serve in his Seva Dal and then as the convener of the Mandaveli Samiti in Chennai. With Bhagwan's grace, Tyagarajan ji was involved in setting up of the 24 hours Liquid Love Seva Center in Sundaram in Chennai and in the Sri Satya Sai Vision Restoration Project and in the disaster management training. A through and through Seva Dal. With Bhagwan's grace, he was involved in the translation of important articles from Telugu Sanatan Sarthi to Tamil for publication in the Tamil Sanatan Sarthi. Earlier, he also served as the Tamil Nadu State Coordinator of Prashanti Seva. Sri Tyagarajan has held the position of the National Coordinator for Disaster Management Training in the Sri Sathya Sai Seva Organizations, and in this capacity, he has traveled all over India, imparting disaster management training to the Sai youth in various states. He has presently settled down in Puttaparthi, and we are very welcome to have him in the studio today. Sairam Rajat Tyagarajan, welcome to Radio Sai.
Thank you so much, Sairam.
Very nice that you are able to join Sri Sur, and together you can now tell us about this disaster management program that Bhagwan has started and which you coordinate. The story begins in 2002, I understand. Mr. Sur, Dada?
Actually, when this thing was, thrust on me, I decided that we're going to hold four zonal camps. One in Ahmedabad was for the West Zone, one in Chennai for the South Zone, one in Bhubaneswar for the East Zone, and one in Delhi for the North Zone.
May I backtrack? Sorry for interrupting. It came about after that tsunami, Rajat Tyagarajan?
No, tsunami was much later.
Oh, I see.
I think it's 2002, there was an international youth conference. And one of the resolutions which Bhagwan approved, I believe Swami indicated that likelihood of a lot of natural disasters, he wanted the organization people to be trained to do seva. And that is where the command came to Dada, as we call him affectionately, through the All India President, Mr. Srinivasan. And then he started the entire training module.
And this is when the four centers were picked, north, south, east, west.
Yeah. After, at each of these zonal training, I attended two of such zonal trainings everywhere. In the north zone, in the south zone, in the west zone, and the east zone. And in this training, naturally the people from these states came. And there, on seeing their efficiency, I appointed the zonal core team. And then I attended two trainings at least, conducted by the zonal coordinators or whatever it is. And then there we formed the state team. Unfortunately, only three states, after my training was over, only three states carried it forward. Tamil Nadu, Andhra Pradesh, and West Bengal. And through Tyagarajan's effort, he was appointed in 2006. Three more states have come in.
Which are?
Madhya Pradesh has come up very well now, and Orissa has come up well, and some of the North Asian states like Sikkim has come up very well.
Good to know that. Wow. So what does it entail when you say that they have a disaster management team in the Sri Sathya Sai Seva organization in a certain state? What does it involve? What does it mean? Rajat Tyagarajan?
See, basically, what is the perception of the Sathya Sai Seva organization outside? You know, we are generally called soft people. You know, you can do Narayan Seva, you'll do medical camps. When it came to disaster management training, where you jump from a building or jump into a fire or cross a current in a river to save human lives or do something which is not normally done, then suddenly it's not the in thing as far as this particular ethos of the organizations are concerned. But remarkably, Bhagwan's immense grace, what is really imparted onto the youth is, unless you have the spiritual core, you won't be able to handle any of this. When I mean the spiritual core, I'm not talking about the ritualistic aspect of it, that as Dada put it very clearly, holding God in your heart as the guiding force and doing everything on that basis. It gave us immense courage and satisfaction to carry such work. And I don't know, Swami was very prophetic. In 2002, he said there's going to be more. And lo and behold, we got this massive tsunami in Tamil Nadu in 2004.
So we were prepared for it to some extent, to lend a helping hand.
We didn't even know the spelling of tsunami, but we knew what exactly is to be done. There's a tremendous experience that Dada had and some of the organization people had in the floods in Orissa and all that. Every little aspect was covered in the training.
So example, the response is quick response.
Brilliant response.
You're
actually,
the first responders.
Exactly. That's the word we use. For example, in the training, we are told that a team should be ready. They should assemble within 12 hours and move into action in a most affected area within 24 hours. To give you an exact time, at 9:30 in the morning, tsunami hit Velangani in Tamil Nadu. Our Tanjore team immediately responded. The travel time between Tanjore and Velangani is 3 hours. So we are looking at 12:30. Our team was there at 3:30.
Wow, what a response. Quick response.
That is the kind of thing. And that scene was something, even today I get goosebumps and I think of it as dead bodies everywhere.
Everywhere, my God.
And in fact, recently I attended a meeting of the top officials of Tamil Nadu government. And they were all talking, you know, all the bureaucrats. And everybody talked about disaster management, what they will do and all that. One of the IAS officers, I still remember, he said, stop all of you. It's all okay for you guys to sit in an AC room and talk about disaster management. I was there when the tsunami hit Tamil Nadu and I was there in that zone. I didn't know what to do. I was stuck. I was stunned, stupefied. And suddenly I find the people from the Sathya Sai organization are going around meticulously doing what exactly they need to do. And they knew. That's exactly, I said, sir, that is because Bhagavan has given us the spiritual core. 18 years, 20-year-old boys who would not have seen even a single death, they were all there chanting Sai Gayatri, lifting each dead body reverentially, taking them to the final destination. Where from this courage came, as Dada put it, no, it's only him. It's Bhagavan who was working through us. And in fact, we got the pat on our back, I would say. I believe some of the elders in the ashram went to Swami and asked Swami, Swami, we all want to go and do seva there. And I believe Swami used this Telugu expression, Baga traina ina ma pillalu akkada pani chestunaru, meeru elloddu addam padtaru. Means, some of my well-trained, my boys are in the field. If you go, you will create only trouble. Don't need to go.
What an endorsement. What a pat on your backs.
He knew. And he is the one who was doing it anyway. It's an incredible experience. I mean, I never wish that such a thing should happen anytime.
Ever again.
But that gave the courage and the organization could grow up and the youth could grow up. This kind of an environment, yes, it is possible. They can do it.
I have to share a little story here, which I've not had an opportunity to tell you before. About the time when the Mahasannidhi happened, there was a lot of uncalled for media attention on us. And I was watching a television show on which there was a whole bunch of critics, cynics, and pseudo-secularists talking about Sathya Sai mission, what will happen, where will it go, all kinds of negative narrative was going on. And this show was hosted, I remember vividly, by one of the very popular hosts of a talk show at that time on a certain English language channel. And there was a professor of, I think he said, sociology or anthropology in the audience. And when everyone was just coming down heavily with blows of such unnecessary and false criticism on all of us, on Bhagwan's divine name, on the Sathya Sai organization, which I always take very personally, there was this person, he said, listen guys, but you do not know, this organization has a very strong service arm, and I have seen their men perform in disaster management times, and they are very well trained, and they are very systematic, and highly professional. So in all that noise of negativity, this person, who I don't think was particularly impressed with us in anything else, he just quickly was fair enough to raise this point and say that disaster management work by Sathya Sai organization is laudable. I was quite taken aback.
Absolutely. I mean, this is something which you can really, thanks to Swami's benevolence and mercy. What was really striking in the whole thing is, I mean, you quoted this, you know, Swami wants your availability, not your ability. Ability comes from somewhere.
We all discover the hero within us when we do Swami's work, don't we?
All of a sudden, you became experts in that field, which you would never think of. I mean, if you look at it, my profile which you read, I'm a chemical engineer with international trade bearing. What do I know about eye project? What do I know about blood donation? What do I know about disaster management or even Prashanthi service? It all is because his doing. And we are very, very fortunate to be his instruments.
Now, I have a question. Disaster management requires very difficult work, very emotionally taxing work, because you're dealing with death and loss and pain and suffering, and it's very stark. You're right there. As you said, the IAS officer said he was totally stupefied. He didn't know how to react. At such time, We have to, first of all, I'm assuming, maintain a certain degree of composure and equanimity. Then we have to work as a team. Swami said that when we do seva, it is mostly for our own benefit. The provider benefits more than the one who is served. In this case, many times you're serving dead bodies. What does it do for the person who's providing this seva? Where is the spiritual growth or that happens? Because seva is supposed to be a path to evolution and salvation. So I'd like to understand from both of you, because you've been on the scene. You're not talking from an air-conditioned room. Incidentally, even the studio right now, the air conditioning is off, so we're all sweating it out. But we're not talking from a comfort of a conference hall or a studio, but being in the field, in the face of this death and destruction. What happens inside? Brother Tyagarajan?
You realize how infinitesimally insignificant you are compared to the Almighty. You realize that if you are meddling with the nature, if you yourself are not good, speak good, think good and do good, you are going to create these disasters. In fact, some of them asked me in the organization when we are doing the disaster awareness program for the outside people, they say, what is the spiritual content in that? What are you giving to them in that? The spiritual content is that we ask them the question, who is responsible for tsunami? And there is a spellbound silence. Nobody wants to say, somebody said nature, somebody said this, somebody said that. And suddenly we all realize that we are responsible for tsunami, which means you, me included. Why? It's because every one of us are creating an imbalance in the nature by wrong thinking, wrong words and wrong actions. So slowly and slowly, I am becoming a good human being. When I see such calamity right in front of my eyes, and I see that what exactly has happened, what exactly made this to happen, immediate thinking is some flood came or some tsunami came and some earthquake came, that will be an immediate response. But you think back, and after doing all that, you realize, my God, even I am also equally responsible for such things. So that kind of a realization makes the person a good person and perhaps eventually a godly person.
Mr. Sur Dada, would you like to add to that?
The organization, including the Satyasai organization, we were collecting material and we were taking them 3 days, 4 days, 5 days later by truck, and we would distribute these. To whom? To those that are not affected.
The survivors.
They come out and set up settlements, because owners, they don't vacate the huts that have come down, because they are 2 tolas or 3 tolas of gold are there. So what we are doing by, we call this highway relief. But if you go there within 24 hours, you know the affected people. And then you can channel the...
So quick response is very important.
Absolutely.
Disaster management training is so designed to understand what exactly you need to do and what is possible by you also. That's both are very, very clearly defined. And in fact, after an aftermath of any such calamity, we are given 3 items what you should do on a priority.
Mm-hmm.
One is nutrition, sanitation, and health and hygiene. In each situation, any one of them take a priority. For example, in a tsunami, sanitation was important. We had to clear the whole area. There were dead bodies still all over the place. So that was important. Not food, not health and hygiene. So in some other situation, the rescue might be the main issue. So very, very systematically. And beauty of the whole program is, you may not have any fancy equipment with you. Coming back to the same instance, you need stretchers to pick up the dead bodies. You go to a hospital, you'll have 1 or 2. A mobile van will have 1. Where will you get so many stretchers? A brilliant training was given to us just 3 months before the tsunami. How to make a stretcher with 2 gunny sacks and 2 bamboo poles. And our team arrived there with about 100 of such stretchers. They were surprised. The collector of Tanjore said, my God, we never knew that you people can handle it. So that kind of a common sense approach, whatever is available with you, you do it. Believe me, after we did 4 days of all this work in tsunami, then only the Indian Army came.
Mr. Sir Dada, would you like to add to that?
And when you go there promptly, you come to know who are the really affected.
Really affected people.
So that all relief material can be diverted
to the genuine victims.
Genuine victims.
Now, there was also a Himalayan tsunami that we dealt with in the Uttarakhand.
That was not a tsunami.
And it was dubbed as a Himalayan tsunami. It was not a tsunami.
It's not
it was
a tsunami. It's actually heavy rains and cloudbursts and things
yes.
like that. So everything was over by then. By that time, there was nothing that they could do. Only people who are stuck in some of the areas where you really need such kind of a gear. And only the professional people like NDRF. You'd be surprised, Sathisai Seva organization formed their teams in 2002. NDRF itself was formed by the government only in 2004.
And NDRF is the National Disaster Relief Force.
In fact, we had the privilege to do, along with Dr. P.M. Nair, who was the Director General of NDRF, to do training along with them in Tamil Nadu in two places. In fact, we learned from them and they say they also learned something from us. As one of the incidents which you asked Dada about it, that quick thinking, you know, common sense approach. When Divine Master wanted to step up and he lent us back. Exactly the same way, very common sense approach is being instilled in this particular training.
So who can participate? Who can become a member? Now, if there are listeners and they feel a great deal of Josh, they want to be part of this because right now Josh is high in this country, nationally, and they want to join the Sathisai Seva organization, what would be the first step?
You just join.
So approach your nearest samiti and sign up.
You should be physically fit, basically, because otherwise you would be a disaster. You have to be physically fit and be willing to... one of the presentations, he says, if you care for your body, you cannot do seva. So that kind of an approach is necessary. But that, as you rightly said, the Josh comes when they start interacting with the youth in the organization who do the seva. Automatically, they pick up these skills. And speaking of my experience in Tamil Nadu, the boys have come up so brilliantly. Till 2011, I was the state coordinator of disaster management in the Sathisai organization, Tamil Nadu. In those years, the total number I had done... the disaster awareness program, which we took it to colleges and the youth outside, was about 10,000.
I see.
And 2012, the youth took over. In the first year itself, they covered 11,000 students.
Wow, that's a huge jump.
Today, Tamil Nadu has 100,000 people they have imparted this training.
So, is there a database that helps?
They have
you?
A database. They have a very clear database.
So, there's a quick SOS sent out in case of a disaster and people respond?
Yes, they can contact these boys. Quite a few boys also, slowly they've also started coming into the organization. Swami used to say this, youth have sahasam, dhairyam,
courage,
everything they have. They also have a tremendous buddhi. Today, the youth
intelligence
they have. Only things need to be channelized. Suppose somebody comes to the organization, you talk of spirituality to him, start giving a lecture on spirituality. The youth is probably going to hear it for 15 minutes out of reverence and then walk away. One of the districts, I went to do a program. We had a team of 6-7 faculty members. They told us 100 people will come. When we went there, there were 18 people. Mentally, we were sort of taken aback. What is this? But of course, Dada's guidance, and he used to give us one particular instance. I believe Ramakrishna Mission once was told in Chennai that they should do Veda classes. The Swamiji there started the Veda class. And one day, it seems nobody turned up. But he kept continuing this class. Somebody asked him, what is this? He said, my master has told me to conduct the class. Who will come, who will not come is his job and I'll have to do mine. That came into our mind. I said, even if there are 18 people, we are going to do this training. We did it wholeheartedly. The end of the training, the boys give a feedback. One of the boys got up and said, sir, normally in Sathisai organization, they start such programs. They call us. I'm talking of experience in Tamil Nadu. Morning they will give you pongal and sambar and tea. Then they'll talk spirituality. 11 o'clock, they'll give you mari biscuit and tea. Then talk spirituality again till 1 o'clock. They'll give potato curry, sambar rice and curd rice and pickle. Again talk spirituality till 3 o'clock and 3 o'clock, they'll give you pakoda and tea and go away. We never knew this program has so much of practical things. Had we known that, more of us would have come. That particular district today, ma'am, is the leading district in Tamil Nadu.
Which is which district?
Rajapalayam.
Rajapalayam, wow.
It actually comes under Virudhunagar district. To this extent, they have gone ahead much higher levels today and some techniques they have developed today, how to rescue people, you know, when some bus falls within two hills and how to rescue people. They have developed a technique. They all came, in fact, I also went with them to Sikkim to show them how they can use it there. So the enthusiasm catches on from there to the youth. And the youth also drift to the organization on this basis. Not because of, you know, we are talking spiritual to them. I think the best spirituality, I would say, is, as Dada put it very clearly, is the work.
Yeah, this is the best menu we can serve them, apart from the Mari biscuits and the pongal and the sambar and the pickle. And Dada, I believe you have a good mantra that if there is a disaster, you give them the advice how they should respond. Can you elaborate on that, please?
Drop everything and go. Because your target is to reach the affected area within 24 hours. So you have to drop everything and go. And the moment I said that, unfortunately, the other state presidents present, they said, how can you just leave everything?
So you just book the first flight, the first train, the first bus out, and you start moving in the direction.
Whatever. I explained to you. It's only 3 hours of preparation and the team was there. In reality, we saw that happening. So it's not that it is impossible. All that it needs is a commitment.
But when the floods came in Kashmir and it was a natural disaster of sorts, the teams from Tamil Nadu, from Punjab, from everywhere mobilized within hours. How did you all work that out?
Actually, at the time of the floods, we couldn't. Actually, we were not there at the time of floods. We went after the first flood, subsequently second flood came. First flood, after that, we were there and we were asked to give the training to the special police.
We saw that video. The Kashmir police was thanking the Satya Sai Seva organization's disaster management team for teaching them how to save people's lives.
Actually, in the end of it, Mom, we do one particular clip. We talk about Mother. Swami used to on and on emphasize. That particular episode, when we say, it brings tears to everyone's eyes.
What is that episode?
It seems there was a mother with a one eye. And she used to drop her son every time to the school. And the other kids used to make fun of her. So this son felt very miserable and said, why don't you die? I don't want you to be here. But so there was an impetus for him that he wanted to get away from her. So he studied well, topped the class, got a big degree, got a big job abroad, got married, settled, forgot all about his mother. So one day there was a knock on his house and he opens and finds, lo and behold, a mother is standing there. His children, seeing a lady with one eye, they scream. So he said, why the hell you come? He goes, you were scaring my children. She said, sorry, sorry, I came to the wrong house. She goes away. A few months later, this person gets an invitation to come to an alumni association of his school. So he goes to that place, finishes all this. Then he said, let me go and see the wretched house I used to live in. Then he goes there and he finds it's locked. He asks the neighbor, he says, there's a lady, who are you? He asks him, I'm her son. Oh, I'm sorry, she passed away. She's no more. And there's a letter. She wanted me to give it to you in case you come. He opens the letter and he says, dear son, I'm sorry all through my life, sorry to have been a source of embarrassment to you. I heard that you have done very well in life and doing very well. You are settled abroad. One last time I wanted to see you. So I came. Even there you drove me out. It's fine. By the time you see this letter, I may not be alive. But I wanted to tell you, when you were a small child in an accident, you lost one eye. And I gave one of my eyes to you. I am happy that my son is seeing the whole world through my eyes. Your loving mother. We say this and we also give an anecdote of an earthquake in which a mother saves a child. Even on the verge of losing her life, she saves her child. And she says how important the mother is. You know, we do this program totally free. All of us spend our money to go there. We stay there, do everything. Then we ask them, in anything that a guru gives, you have to give a Guru Dakshina. The Guru Dakshina, what we ask, will you give? So all of them will say, you know, they are in a high josh. They'll say, yes, we'll give you. The Guru Dakshina is, we want you to prostrate before your mother every day before you leave for the college. Will you do that? There's a stunned silence and acceptance. The spiritual value after such a practical program is also imparted at the end of the disaster awareness programs.
That's the first axiom on the Vedam, Matru Devo Bhava.
Matru Devo Bhava.
Pitru Devo Bhava.
Very nicely designed, very profound, very well thought out, what can I say. So what are some of the major disasters that have occurred in which we have participated in the last several years?
The major one was the tsunami in Tamil Nadu, where we had a very, very active participation. There are a few cyclones which came in tsunami, the aftermath of it, and the cyclones came in Tamil Nadu. Our teams were very, very active. Both in Chennai floods, our boys were active. Recently, the Tamil Nadu government recognized that there is such a force existing in Tamil Nadu which they were not aware of. The chief secretary called us and now they have enlisted. We are the only organization who has been enlisted to work along with the government as security, savers, guards. during any disasters.
Wow, congratulations.
So we have enlisted about 600 people along with the government. We work along with them, and they permit us to wear our logo and our shirt, our
SAI logo scarf,
and work along with them.
Wow, Dada, that must be very satisfying.
It is very satisfying.
In fact, the entire revenue department, we are asked to give training to them, all the districts. It's going on an ongoing basis, the things being done now. One thing as, he doesn't like the compliment, I need to say it from my heart. I've been a professional manager, I've traveled all over the world, I've been in international arena, but I've never seen an inspiring leader, either in my professional career or in the SAI organization, like Dada. It's the feeling that all of us who had worked with them have.
Swami's handpicked instruments, we all have so much to learn from. And elders like yourself, sir. What an honor.
Thank you, Ma'am. Sarah.
Yeah, very nice. Now, before I let you both go, final thoughts. And I'm going to start with Dada. So, Mr. Sur, this journey, very unusual life that you have led of being born in such divine grace as devotees of Ramakrishna Paramhamsaji, a very privileged life because you come from a family of reasonable wealth, great education, and then instead of, you know, pursuing the path of the world, you took a detour and you channelized all your upbringing, the knowledge, the skill set, the experience, the degrees that you had, your accomplishments, to serve your master Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. When you look back, what are your thoughts?
I have no regrets. In fact, I'm very happy. In fact, now with my wife's dialysis going on 3 times a week, I spend equal time in Calcutta and here. I'll be going in May, coming back in July.
And what is your message? Once again, I'll ask you for the young Sai devotees who are, especially these days, very easily distracted. And I think Calcutta has their own share of people who are chasing a mirage in the name of Bhagwan Baba and falling for, you know, fake messiahs and prophets and not focusing on the gift that we have from the Lord Himself. What is your message to them?
My message to them is that do not lose your focus.
They're so tempted.
Avoid that temptation. But work. Work will get you through.
Nice words. Brother Tyagarajan, your final thoughts?
I don't know, as they say, it's a great blessing of the Lord to be born in the era in which He walked on this earth.
Truly.
And more than that, to be a minuscule part of His organization and His work and His mission. And nothing else can be more satisfying. I think, as you say in Tamil, Janma Sabalyam, we have already got that. I don't think we need anything else from the Lord.
Sri Samal Sur and Sri S. Tyagarajan, thank you very much for joining me on this conversation on Radio Sai.
Thank you so much. Sai Ram,
and welcome back to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. We are coming to you from the Radio Sai Studios on this 11th day of April 2009. This is a live show and the time in the ashram is exactly, 20 minutes past 10 a.m. Indian Standard Time. I was waiting for that seconds watch to move on. You just heard the conclusion of part 2 of our interview, exclusive interview with Sri Shamal Sur. And in part 2, he was accompanied by Sri S. Tyagarajan of the disaster management team of the Sri Sathya Sai Seva organization. As always, we are eagerly looking forward to your feedback to this particular interview and any other offerings of Radio Sai. Our WhatsApp number for you to send your feedback to us remains 9393258258. If you're writing to us from outside of India, the country code is +91. You can always send your feedback by email also to listener@radiosai.org. Now, I have a lot of your responses to share with you, but first, I have a question for you. Would you like to receive your daily thought for the day as it is written in Prashanti Nilayam every morning in Hindi? Aaj ka suvichar har subah padhne ke liye, प्लीज आप अभी रेडियो साई के हिंदी सेवा जो हिंदी सेवा का फेसबुक पेज है उसे जाके ज्वाइन कर लीजिए. फेसबुक पे जाके आप रेडियो साई हिंदी ढूंढिए और उस पेज को फॉलो कीजिए और उसको ज्वाइन कीजिए. आपको हर सुबह नींद से उठते ही भगवान की दिव्य मैसेज संदेश आज का सुविचार के रूप में रोज पढ़ने को मिलेगी.
So I would urge all our listeners to please ask your friends and family who know the Hindi language, who are privileged to know Hindi, to follow our Facebook page for Hindi. It's called Radio Sai Hindi Facebook page. And every day, the thought for the day that is written here will be available to them in Hindi also. So that way we can spread Swami's message to more and more people and bring joy into their life. Now, let's review your feedback to this morning's question. And after that, let's enjoy the music by the two nightingales from the Sindhi community, Kajal Chandiramani and Renu Gidumal. So, here are the answers that I have received. I have to go through a number of devices, so please bear with me. First, I'll go with the email. She says, this is from K. Shivagama Sundari from Kadalur in Tamil Nadu. And K. Shivagama Sundari says, Sai Ram, good morning. We truly live as Sai devotee if we follow Swami's 9 code of conduct. We do Gayatri Japa, help others through consoling words, love and also financial support for people who need education, medical, marriage, help with marriage and so on. Before taking food, we should chant Brahmarpanam. Joy or sorrows, we should think of Namasmarana and surrender all our problems to Swami. Connect all our activities to Swami. Morning, evening, attend prayer bhajan through Radio Sai, Vedam chanting and bhajan from live from Mandir, like this one. Surrender all our thoughts and words to Swami. Read Bhagavatam, Ramayana, Bhagavad Gita, Shirdi Sacharita. Totally till morning to night, stay connected to Swami in all activities. And this gives joy to the mind and helps us to lead a peaceful life. Very nice formula, Shivagama Sundari ji. You have given us, and I believe you're following this, so congratulations. Wow, this is quite a tall order to continuously do so much of prayers and follow, but then be so charitable and thoughtful and so equal-minded in ups and downs of life. Very nice. Thank you. And that's a lot of learning for us. Now, let me just switch over to WhatsApp. So, I'll start with... This one comes from Panchkula, Haryana, from Arun Lata. And she says, Sai Ram, the question seems difficult to answer, but with feeling Swami doing, I'm trying. For Swami's, for Satyasai Seva activities, it's easy because we directly follow the teachings and only one thing works there, that is love. Following and bend the body, mend the mind. So you have to mend the senses and end the mind actually. So she says follow the Satyasai Seva organization's Seva activities. Secondly, if it is work, other than Seva work, I simply think how Swami would do it. That way, he did all the work for us. I try to make my own work as Swami's work. While working in office with people, it is difficult, but I try to see Swami in all. Many times I fail, but go on trying and the same and move ahead. Life doesn't stop, but it gives us chance to mend ourselves according to what Swami wants from us, to live a life of compassion, contentment and gratitude for what we have. I like that line. We should live a life of compassion, contentment and gratitude for what we have. Arun Lata, Panchkula, Haryana. Thank you, sister, for that feedback. And dear listener, somewhere I was reading I don't know to what extent this is backed by neuroscience, but it seems if we every morning, if we contemplate on 3 blessings in our lives that we are thankful for, it could be anything. The fact that, you know, we have power right now and air conditioning is working because I'm so comfortable in the studio. My microphone is switched on and I have enough food to eat and my phone is charged and everything around me is so balanced. Just everything and anything, if we look for 3 reasons to be grateful for, we wire our brain for happiness and also draw the abundance of the universe to us. Now, the next feedback is, this comes from Supriya in Mumbai. She says, the All India president once said, the most unique quality about Swami is that he made every devotee feel that he was born only for them. I feel that the day we can say, do and feel in accordance with the same for our beloved Bhagwan, and the day our thought, our word and our deeds synchronize every second of our life only towards him, is the day we can truly call ourselves his devotees. When everything we do is done as an offering to him, even if it's the 100th part of his love, if 100th part of his love can pour out of us, what more do we then need? Loving Sai Ram, Supriya Mumbai. Supriya, that's so sweet and nice. I'm guessing you've written Nimish uncle here, so I'm guessing you've been to Bal Vikas, and that's a very beautiful thought, that everything we do it for him. There's a song, right? Everything I do it for him. It sounds just like that. Now, brother Pratap Makodia has said, according to me, we should live our life as per Bhagwan's commands. Initially, Bhagwan was telling, my life is my message. But later, he said, your life is my message. So we should live our life in such a way that it becomes his message. We should surrender completely with great faith. Consider whatever he does is as being best for us. We should keep in mind the 9 commands given by Bhagwan and follow the same in our day-to-day life at best possible way. Love all, serve all, help ever, but try not to hurt anyone. So serve the needy and practice Satya Dharma Shanti Prem. In short, he says, live with Swami. Nice, brother Pratap Makodia from Bhavnagar, Gujarat. Thank you for your answer. Now this one comes, somebody just wrote Sairam, he's still writing, so I'll leave it for them. This one comes from Gopinath Rukmangathan. And Mr. Gopinath from Chennai says, as Swami is pouring his perpetual love as always in all moments, we should have constant integrated awareness, CIA, to feel Swami's love in all beings, in all aspects. But brother, how to do it? Sometimes we get angry also and we get frustrated and irritable. So how to feel that constant integrated awareness? Think and write to me. I'll wait for your answer, brother Gopinathji. And then, okay, this person without their name says, Sairam to everyone. Sairam to you too, brother. Please, or sister, please announce your name and location and what you have to say. This one comes to us from, didn't say from where. It says, today's question, Sairam Karuna, if we are able to balance love and law in day-to-day life, dealing ourselves, our family members, our colleagues, the ones we interact with in our professional life, including Sai in organizational members, and we feel we have done it without guilt, without losing our self-respect, then we will make Swami happy. I feel it's a simple, practical way. Outside world should feel the presence of Swami with us. Yes, I think I also like that, because when people feel after interacting with some devotees that, you know, they felt Swami's presence and Swami's love came through, I feel that's such a affirmation and beautiful feeling and experience to have. Now, this one comes from Veda, Ravi and Rahul Patel from Johannesburg, South Africa. I think that, as you said, that a true Sai devotee is one who dedicates their entire life to Swami, one that sees everyone as their sisters and brothers. And also I heard one of Swami's students say that through bhajans, if you feel such strong love for Lord that you shed tears when you hear a bhajan, that is sung with utmost bhava. So as long as we feel we are all sisters, brothers, we dedicate our entire life to Swami and we have a emotional response to well-sung bhajans, that is the thought from the Patel family in Johannesburg. Thank you, Veda, Ravi and Rahul, for that. Just a second. This person who didn't announce who they were says, I also tried to follow Swami's one teaching, Mukh Me Ram, Hath Me Kam. That is the Lord's name on your tongue and work, action in your hand. So keep working. And then this one says, Supriya says, yes, I am a student of Bal Vikas and my mother is a Bal Vikas guru. I guessed it right, Supriya. I'm getting good at this stuff. Okay, I should join the CIA, the other CIA, and crack some crimes because I can locate who's a Bal Vikas child. This one comes from brother Yoga Kumaran Nadaraja from Toronto. He says, I thought you're trying to teach about the power of silence. I'm following Swami's teachings, ups and down, bound to situations. So I try my best to touch the edge of the rim of the real Sai devotees. About management disaster, he says, Brother Shivagopi of York Sai Center in Toronto arranged with Red Cross to help us prevent and also teach us. So these are the last statements. We have to bring it back and retain all of us. So they are doing disaster management in Toronto also with the help of Red Cross. Very nice. Thank you, Brother Yoga Kumaran Nadaraja from Toronto. Okay, now this one. says, okay, this is a nice one from Brother Megal Solanki, who is a very creative person and he works with us. He's from the Indore Sai Samiti in Madhya Pradesh. He says, it's about the moment, because as human and follower, we are constantly evolving. The moment we follow Swami's teaching, that moment I know that I am his devotee follower and he is happy. But the moment I am not following his teaching, that is the challenge. I personally feel that with the organization activity or by following Satya, Dharma, Shanti and Ahimsa, which is truth, right conduct, peace and non-violence, I can increase those moments of Swami's connection. And he, as Swami says, ABC of life is to avoid bad company. Bad company are everything that does not lead to this feeling of truth, love, peace and right conduct. I think one just needs to increase those moments of being in truth, peace, right conduct and being in the Sai organization. Say 24 hours in a day for organizing activity, I give 1 hour. That 1 hour, I am on right track to make, when he gives it to the Satya Sai organization, he says, that 1 hour he's on the right track and 23rd hours also have to be put on right track. As Swami says, all work is Swami's work, whether it's professional, housework, driving or anything. And there's something else I read somewhere he had said, about that. He said he wanted to give a feedback to the earlier interview, and which was last week's, I believe, a Thursday live. He said the program is no doubt excellent, and it and he said he loved Dada's or Shamal Sur's interview. It's one of the finest interviews, and this experience for me. For me, only his experience with Swami is enough. But I will encourage Team Radio Sai to bring more such gems of Swami who actually surrendered their life. I knew Baba, but I'm sure there must be more such people and we should pick those. Then he has said that apart from the interviewer who does this interview, there are many others who are involved in editing and post-production. And he's suggesting that why don't we carry the names or the credits of the editor, the sound engineer who have worked on that program. Now, this is something I want to share with our listeners. There's so many times we have proposed this, and at the end of a program to say this was edited by or post-production by. Our brothers and sisters who work here, whether they are part of the radio Sai team staff or whether they are full-time volunteers, they don't want their name to come up. So we've had a lot of internal discussion. People get a little bit upset with us. They say, no, we are not doing it to put our name there. So then why are the rest of us getting our names up there? But that's like a professional requirement. You can't be a disembodied voice without a name or a location or some specification for identification. So they said those who go on air, it's okay. They can call out their name. But the ones involved in all the amount of, tremendous amount of behind the scenes work, they are very particular. They want to remain anonymous and they don't want their name to go. So it's not like we didn't want to put their name on. We have not suggested this repeatedly, but just doesn't work. So what to do? Now, this one is done, 99. I like this one. Om Sai Ram, for me, what possibly gives us the title of being Sai devotees is only when, with our actions, we perform in our daily life to first be, then do, and then tell. We must lead by example. Then, when total strangers question our behavior in a good way, only then we can be called Sai devotees. This answer comes from very practical gyan from Stephen Moodley from Durban, South Africa. Brother Stephen Moodley, thank you. I like that. First be, then do, then tell. Don't start pontification and giving sermons without first practicing Swami's teachings. And because some people do that and their lifestyle doesn't gel with it and they only end up bringing a bad name to everybody. This one is from Brother Ganesh from France. He says, Sai Ram, this is Ganesh from France. He's answering my earlier question. I guess why there is more feedback for a particular interview than others is when people are touched by the sacrifice and dedication of devotee, or if there's something in their experience that strikes a chord with the listener's personal experience. I agree. You've really nailed it, Brother Ganesh from France. What qualifies as a Sai devotee is following his teachings 24/7. If I'm not mistaken, he wanted us to follow at least one of his several messages. For example, having equanimity, irrespective of things happening in one's life, is something he loved. Also, sometimes there are devotees who are working very silently behind the scene, and one is touched again by their devotion. And you know, in case of Mr. Sur, who are living in the ashram I never even knew of, and he has been working for decades, and you know, we think that in Radio Sai we keep we have a pulse on what's happening around us. I had no clue. I have heard his name. I had no clue who he was or what nature of his work. In passing, the name might have just touched my ear. But in Radio Sai, there's an entire team which is much larger than the team that you hear, that works very silently behind the scenes, and that team likes to remain like that. For example, till late last night, there was a team of our brothers who were working in the mandir to make sure the wires were properly sorted. There were some wires going through and some construction had happened and there were some connection issues. Late at night, they were sending pictures on our WhatsApp group and sorting them and putting things in order, because all the wires, all the electric equipment, all the hardware is Bhagwan's divine property. It's for the pleasure of and the comfort of his devotees. So everything has to be treated with a lot of reverence and sense of responsibility. And there is no such culture of, you know, I worked overtime, I need comp off. Nobody. Everybody just does what they're supposed to do. And that's how this place runs. And that's the work ethic that Swami taught us. So none of those brothers who were up at night, whether it was Himanta or DJ or CG or Sudhir or Gokul or Vinod, everybody, I don't think Vinod was there, but others were there. Vinod is away, I believe. All of them were working late at night. They never want anyone to talk about them. And just being silent, quiet, behind the scenes, heroes and sheroes. And there are so many in the Sathya Sai world, and we salute all of them. This one comes from Prasanna from Pune. Prasanna from Pune says, one who follows the principles of Baba, their thoughts and actions should match. So we can't say one thing and do the other. We can't propagate, you know, non-violence and then violate animal rights by consuming food which is derived from animals and things like that. We can't teach children to live an ethical life and in our own personal professional lives, for example, accept a bribe. So I like your suggestion. It's very short, and the rest of the masala I added. What Prasanna has written, one who follows the principles of Baba, their thoughts and actions should match, and I concur with you, Brother Prasanna. And now, this one comes from Pallavi from Ahmedabad. Pallavi says, she's writing to us from Gujarat, I know I am living the life of a Sai devotee when my thoughts, my words and actions are in tune with the voice of my conscience. When my conscience pricks, I know I have heard Swami. So to be a good Sai devotee, I need to learn to listen to my conscience by practicing the 9-point code of conduct. Nicely said. Thank you, Pallavi from Ahmedabad. This one comes from Bhuvaneshwari, who is an alumni of Swami from Perambur, Chennai. Bhuvaneshwari attended, I'm guessing, the Anandpur College from 1997 to 2000. And she says, feeling Swami and his presence at every fraction of a second, such that everything we do is for him. Wow. You have to be saturated like Mirabai to feel his presence every second, fraction of the second. But it's a very nice aim and a goal, a very good aspirational goal for some of us who are struggling. But yes, that is how we should feel. We should feel total oneness with Swami. Thank you, Sister Bhuvaneshwari from Perambur, Chennai, Tamil Nadu. And this one comes from from S. Sai Charan, who's a 7th standard student of Sri Sathya Sai Primary School and residing in Chennai currently. S. Sai Charan says, Saira ma'am, we consider ourselves as Sai devotees only when we follow his teachings and put it into action, through which we can make Swami happy every single time. You keep up that spirit, Sai Charan, and make sure you know that as Swami student, you are the son of Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba, and you have every right. This nobility is your birthright. Make sure you follow his teachings and you shine, and so people experience Swami's brilliance through you. Good luck with everything. You're in 7th standard. Congratulations to you. This one comes from Ranjini Murli from Mumbai in Maharashtra. Ranjini Murli says, to look at everyone as Swami and perform every act with Swami in mind, This is the immediate thought that comes to my mind to describe a Sai devotee. Now, this is a very good qualification to look at everyone as Swami and perform every act with Swami in mind. So, you know, in India, elections are going, spiritual fervor is very high. People are have favorites and then they are using social media to criticize those who they don't like. Let's try and see Swami in everybody. Everybody in their own way is trying to promote. And, you know, let the best man or woman win. We don't have to get overly excited to badmouth anyone. I think that's a good thing. And let's just accept even the result as Swami's will. And we can have our choices. We can all exercise our choice because it's a democracy. And I think right now with the kind of toxic narrative, some people criticizing one group, another set of people criticizing another group. In Andhra Pradesh, we have very complex political situation. Let's remember what Sister Ranjini Murali from Mumbai has suggested. Let's see Swami in everyone and perform every act with Swami in mind. Then we are likely to go less crazy. And let me see one last one. This one comes from Brother Prakash Chitranjan. Brother Prakash Chitranjan says, being in bliss, being happy to start with. Very nice. I hope all of us experience the divine bliss like Swami. Always be happy, happy, happy. That's what Swami told us. So start being happy, and that's a good start to describe a Sai devotee. Thank you, Brother Prakash Chitranjan. I think with that, there are a few more. I'm just going back. Okay. Oh, this one, the one that person has now sent me. Yes, at the outset, respecting our parents and elders by following the 9-point code of conduct, doing Namasmarana, Gayatri Mantra. When you get angry, think of Swami, sing Namasmarana, move along with all the awareness of the constant integrated awareness. This is again Brother Gopinath Rukmangathan from Chennai. Thank you, Brother Gopinath. Now, there's one last one from Ranjana Jha from Adilabad. Sai Ram, she says, every moment if we act, think how Swami will act in this situation, we observe the happiness of Swami inside us. Leave it to Swami to decide we are devotee or not. So let Swami decide whether we are his devotee or not, but try and live every moment, think every moment and behave in every moment how Swami, by how Swami would react to it, and then we will feel the happiness of Swami. Thank you, Sister Ranjana Jha from Adilabad. And that, I think, brings me to the end of all the WhatsApp messages. And I'm just looking up if there's anything else that has come up on my email because I don't want to miss out anyone and make them feel bad. Yes, there is. This one comes from Shri Chote Lal Mirakhar from NCR Delhi. He says, there is nothing sweeter than Sai's name to me. In Trisvi Divinity, every time he feels that love, and then he says I remain involved in Balvika's classes, Pathshala literacy program, and teaching children in NCR area, and which he started in Gogji Bagh in Srinagar, and then continued in Jammu, and now in Gurgaon, and offering everything to his lotus feet of our dear Lord. That is what makes him feel close to Swami and like a Sai devotee. Now, one more. This one, Sai Ram, Sister Karuna, with his grace, I thank everybody for the programs on Radio Sai. As for knowing whether one is a Sai devotee, it's simple. S-A-I. See always inside. Lord and devotee are one. Whom needs to know whom? Lord reveals himself to devotee as well as in this journey to be a Sai devotee, he has given us ample teachings to practice and earn his grace and unite with him at all times. Unity, purity and divinity. Key is compassion and equanimity, being in the present moment. And he says chapter 12 in Gita tells us what a Sai devotee should be at all times. This comes from Brother Ahilan Shivaswamy from Appleton City in northeast of Wisconsin state, midwest of USA. Thank you, Brother Shivaswamy Ahilan, for sharing your thoughts and your wisdom and insights. One last one. No, this is not an answer to my question. And that brings me to the last, I hope I'm not missing anybody. Yes, it brings me to the last response. All of you have been very articulate and very sincere, and I really thank you for that. It's so wonderful to have So many of our listeners give some thought to all these questions and take the time to answer. We appreciate that deeply, dear listeners, and it's always a pleasure to hear from you. I urge you to keep writing to us, and about the feedback to this morning's interview with Sri Shamal Sur, part 2, in which he was joined by Sri Tyagarajan, I would say go ahead and send us your feedback as well at listener@radiosai.org or on our WhatsApp number 9393258258. And with that, I'm happy to now bring you a musical treat. This is a very beautiful musical treat. As you know, the entire, a very large number of the Sindhi diaspora descended on Prashanthi Nilayam on the day of Ugadi, 6th April, and on 7th April, they celebrated their new year, Chetty Chand, here in the Divine Presence. And on that day, there was a musical program that was offered by two singers from the Sindhi community. One of them has also performed earlier, very beautiful program, Kajal Chandiramani ji, and also by Sister Renu Gidumal. And I've got I've extracted that musical program by our sisters from the Sindhi community that was offered in the Divine Presence. You know, Prashanthi Nilayam is such a melting pot. It's a potpourri of fragrance of every culture, every community. If you talk to the Sindhis, they feel their home is Puttaparthi. You talk to the people from Tamil Nadu, they feel Prashanthi Nilayam is their true home. You talk to people from Rajasthan, Chhattisgarh, Orissa, Gujarat, they say, Hamara ghar to yahi hai. So it's that draw of this place, and it was so nice to see all of them come together in North Indian canteen. They even served some traditional Sindhi food, and which sadly I missed. And the whole day and the way they prayed to Jhulelal Sai in the Divine Presence. And we then realized how many members of the Sindhi community have also served the Satya Sai mission. It was wonderful to see how we are one family. It doesn't matter what region, language we speak, where we come from, where in the world we reside. Swami makes us all one family, His family. We are all sisters and brothers. I wish the rest of the world thought like this. So that feeling of oneness that comes when we just finished Ugadi Day, you know, people from Andhra Pradesh, Karnataka, Telangana, Jammu Kashmir, from Maharashtra celebrated their New Year. Next day the Sindhis celebrated. Now the Tamil people are coming to celebrate Tamil New Year. There will be all kinds of Vishu and this and that. Everybody is busy celebrating their New Year's in Prashanthi Nilayam. And then there is January 1. So we celebrate many New Year's here, and everybody feels this is the most sacred place to do so. So just feel that spirit of love for Swami, this heaven on earth, just sitting on that marble floor with that high ceiling, bright light, beautifully decorated, impeccably clean, immaculate Mahasannidhi, the divine throne, and this divine music. Let's recreate that magic in our hearts and in our vivid imagination and enjoy the beautiful music by Kajal Chandiramani ji and Renu Gidumal ji. Enjoy the rest of the show. I'll be waiting for your feedback. As always, you can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. Have a great day ahead. Sai Ram, dear listeners.
I am eternally grateful to Swami that He provided this opportunity where I could come and sing and offer my humble offerings at His lotus feet. And like Nimesh Bhai said, this is not by chance. It is all Swami's plan. As a young girl, whenever I would sing Swami's bhajans or sing at Swami's devotees' homes, I would play this game and I would say, Swami, I'm singing for you, but please give me a sign. Are you listening to me? Do you know that I'm singing for you? And invariably, every single time that I would say, if you do this, I know you're here. If you do this, I know you're listening to me. And Swami would always give me that sign. And my other dream was that, when will I sing at Prashanthi Nilayam? So, thank you, Swami. This is not my first time, but my second time over here. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your kindness. And thank you to Nimesh Bhai Pandya, Kamala Aunty, for giving us this opportunity. And thank you to the Satya Sai Mission for arranging such a beautiful program where Sindhis from all over the world have gathered and we can celebrate our New Year so beautifully. So I offer my humble offering at the lotus feet of Swami. I am because you are. Thank you, Swami. Very popular Sindhi song. So all of you all who know this, please join me. Bidi avara azare mohana lal te thi vanna.
Bye.
Now the second kalam that I'm going to sing for you is a beautiful kalam written by a saint, Sant Kavar Ram. And I had the privilege and honor of singing at his samadhi, at his shrine in Pakistan. So this is a beautiful song and it goes down generations. So just singing this song again for all of you. Blessings on us. That is what this song is all about. I am a hapless, helpless child. Please continue to shower your grace on me and all of us. Ho na le alakh je
Oh. सभनी जो आयो लाल सभई चो झूलेला
मुखे खबर आहे ते नचण गायण अलाउड कोने हथ मथे करण बि अलाउड कोने पर तव्हां दिल में हथ मथे करजो जंहिंखे मुंहिंजे झूलण साईं मालामाल कयो हुजे जंहिंखे स्वामी खुशहाल कयो हुजे भंडारा भरपूर कया हुजनि दिल भरियल हुजे सभु दिल में हथ मथे कजो जंहिंखे झूलण कयो खुशहाल माला माल उहो हथ मथे करे उहो हथ मथे करे उहो हथ मथे करे उहो हथ मथे करे जंहिंखे झूलण कयो खुशहाल जंहिंखे लालण कयो माला माल जंहिंखे
I'm not afraid.
the national anthem of Sindhis all over the world. Jo Sindhi nahi hai, unhone bhi ye suna hai. To please, mera saath dijiye. दरबार हजारों देखे हैं, दरबार हजारों देखे हैं, पर ऐसा तो दरबार कहां? दरबार हजारों देखे हैं, पर ऐसा तो दरबार कहां? जिस गुलशन में तेरा नूर न हो मेरे साईं, जिस गुलशन में तेरा नूर न हो, ऐसा तो गुलजार कहां?
दम मस्त 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 दम मस्त 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 दम मस्त 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 दम मस्त 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 दम मस्त 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 दम मस्त 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 दम मस्त 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 दम मस्त 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 ओ लाल मणि पत रख दे भला झूले लालन ओ मस्त 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 दम मस्त 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 दम मस्त 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 दम मस्त 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 ओ लाल मणि पत रख दे भला झूले लालन बिछड़िया जा हिंद सिंध जा झूले लाल साईं समा दम दे गुलवारा समा छम दे गुलवारा
Beloved Bhagwan, dearest Lord of my heart and my soul, I thank Thee with so much gratitude for making this beautiful dream come true. On this sacred, auspicious day of Sindhi New Year, Cheti Chand, it is a double privilege and an honor, Swami, to be at Your lotus feet, to be in Your divine omnipresence. With the musicians here from Satya Sai Mirpuri College of Music, Department of Music, Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, we offer this very small but most loving bouquet of bhajans and kalams in Sindhi. Beloved Sai, please bless all the Sangat here today, especially all the Sindhis and their families from India and across the world. Bless us, Swami Jhulelal Sai, with Your love and grace. Jai Sai Ram. You are the way, You are the road, You are mercy, Your voice is love. Vahir tu, mohinji tu vahir tu. Rehbar tu, muhinji tu rehman tu, rehm tuhinju razwa Allah. Ah. Today we have an interesting collection of Sindhi bhajans and kalams. This first one was written by our contemporary, beautiful, most beautiful Sindhi saint, Sadhu T.L. Vaswani. And this next wonderful kalam is by Hazrat Sachal Sarmast, one of our three Shakespeares, Sachal Sarmast, 18th century poet. Unclothed and in utter humility, O beloved Lord, I submit to your will. However you wish to keep me, however you wish to teach me, I surrender, I surrender, I surrender. Nangarani manida, jive tive palana. Jive tive palana. Jive tive palana. Sare ga re ga ma pa dha. one of our most famous Sindhi saints, Bhagat Kanwarram. Bhagat Kanwarram represents an intrinsic part of Sindhi Sufi culture and tradition, and above all, devotion to the Lord. He used to dress up with anklets round his feet and lose himself in the ecstasy of praying to the Lord. This is one of the kalams that he's made most famous. Please allow me to take the trouble to explain just a little bit of the kalam so you can connect with it. Sahib Tuhinji Sahibi, O Master, look at your creation. Ajab Dithi Sua, Ajab Ajeeb, unique, unparalleled is your beauty. Panna Bore Patarame, Panna a leaf, which is so light, you have the ability to make it, bury it in the underworld, in the patar. Pathar Tari Tu, or make a heavy stone, simply float upon the water. O miraculous Lord, Je Razi Thi Mu, if Thy mercy and grace are upon me, Je Razi Thi Mu, to Meri Aayi Maan Laha, please make me worthy, make me acceptable in your sight, Lord. Isn't this what we all pray for? That we may look at our Lord and Master without shame, without guilt, but knowing that we can stand tall, that we have done our duty, we have followed our conscience, we have followed the teachings of our Guru. The poet says, basically, I have no ego, Lord, I only want you. Let's go down, show me the road. Shall I become a Musliman, a Mu'min, and do namaz? Will that please you, Lord? I shall do that, I shall become that. Shall I become a Hindu and bathe in the Ganges, do puja paat everywhere, wear the janiya thread, the sacred thread, or wear the tilak on my forehead? Will that please thou, Lord? I shall become that. There are two more verses, but today we shall just have these two verses. Enjoy this very beautiful composition, inspired by the bhakti of Bhagat Kanwarram.